Hope that this morning is going to be a little bit more of a quite short reflection rather than a sermon, if you kind of know the difference. You know, we're in the darkest time of the year, aren't we? It's quite a bright morning this morning, but these days are dark. It's the darkest time of the year, and it's a good time to reflect, isn't it? To ponder, to wonder. In Luke chapter 1:78-79, I'd like us, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, is prophesying, and I'd like us to enter into Zechariah's prophecy this morning. And let the day spring from heaven break upon us. Bring us light and guide us in the path of peace. That's a wonderful prayer, isn't it? We have a short text, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. It begins with a but. I love a but. It means that things are changing direction, for better or worse. And in this case, for better. Because the context of the whole teaching, which I'm not going to go into in detail, is slavery. The idea of slavery, both literal and to a certain extent metaphorical. So Paul is actually saying, you were slaves, but I think that's a great place for our reflection to begin. What are we, individually, inclined to be enslaved by? Maybe some of us, can think about things from the past that really held us captive. Maybe in unhealthy or even destructive ways. And maybe today we can give thanks to God that we're free from those chains, from that slavery. But if we're honest, there are always ways for each of us in our thinking, our acting, our speaking, our looking, in which we are drawn back into, at some level, things which are unhelpful, that enslave us. You know, one morning last week, not the week just gone, the week before, I was about, in fact, I'd started sending a WhatsApp to my family when I was suddenly assailed by a phrase and a question. It's as if God really came to me, and the phrase was, food and frolic. Why are you so consumed with planning food and frolic and dragging your poor adult kids into your vortex when they're working and just trying to get through to the Christmas break? So I stopped, I deleted the WhatsApp, and I remembered that my kind of slavery is to get stressed with all the Christmas planning and for that to consume, instead of being at peace with the Prince of Peace. But... concentrate. But when the right time came, God... is not a bit like me. He waits for the right time. As King of the universe, God is in eternity, but he entered time at exactly the right time. The people of Israel have been waiting hundreds of years. If it had been up to them, Messiah would have come at many other times. But God waited for the right time, his time. He is God. When all the bluster is over, but bow the knee and trust in his goodness and care. There are ideas around there about why it was a great time in human history. The Romans had built roads and communication systems all over the then known world. It was a kind of unity. Harsh one, but under Roman rule. Britain was either just about to be invaded or very soon. Travel, so the Romans were pushing through into Northern Europe. Travel was relatively easy. And the poets, both the Roman and the Greek poets and philosophers at the time, were expressing thoughts that the world was somehow ready for something new. Things were kind of in a little bit of decline. But in the end, it was the right time because it was God's time. In our lives, we pray for God to come, to work, to change things. And so we should. We're just children tugging at our Father's sleeve. But we have to learn to trust in God's time and find our peace in him while we wait. And I just want us here this morning, as we think about the things in our lives, or in the lives of those that are close to us or that we care about, that we want God to change, to work. Let each of us creep into that place of peace with our longings. And let's lay them before him and trust in his timing, knowing that he is with us and he cares. But at the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman. Well, hang on a minute. Well, yeah, this is God acting. He's doing something here, certainly, but not at all what the Jewish people were longing for, and not what anyone would have expected. What have we got? What's happening? A human baby, vulnerable in the extreme, utterly dependent on a very young woman and her dependable but very ordinary husband. How is this going to solve any problems? How is this going to meet the needs of the world, let alone the needs of the human heart and condition? Most people are hardly going to notice that God has done anything at all. And those who kind of vaguely wonder, well, they wonder. And isn't it often like that? We come to God with our very real needs, and he does something, but not at all what we actually thought was needed. And sometimes we don't even notice that he's done anything at all. Sometimes it takes a friend to point it out. And sometimes we notice that although God hasn't done what we really thought we needed, and we still think we need, well, he somehow changed my perspective. He's somehow given me a little bit of a different way of thinking. He's given me strength. He's increased my faith. He's drawn me into his embrace in a new and very precious way. I think this is what makes the Christmas story, on one level, so very appealing, so truly wonderful, even to skeptics. It's the very surprising and extraordinary way in which God comes. The few people who realized at the time, or even half realized what was happening, it's discombobulating, and we whisper with Mary, how can this be? And yet, of course, God is not a bit like me. Because in sending his son, God came himself, but born of a woman. Came as human. We'll never get to the bottom of that. But we can go on looking. And our looking will bring Christ to us. Hope, love, joy, peace. Let's bow. Like simple shepherds this morning, and receive the Christ child into our hearts and homes and minds. When the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to law. Ah, the law. The law that God gave to Moses so that the people could live together in safety with justice and respect. But essentially the law that would reveal to those with a heart to realize, would reveal what God is like. The law is God saying, this is who I am. This is my character. And famously, Jesus summed up the thousands of words of the law in these words. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Essentially, the law was always about love, because essentially God is love. And in being under the law, Jesus fully lived a life of love and was a living lesson in who God is. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. Now we're getting to the nub of things. Two key words, buy and slaves. There's a cost, an outrageous cost that we've sung about already this morning, very appropriately at Christmas. There's a huge, seemingly impossible cost, the death of the beloved Son. We're that valuable. What are we slaves to? We've already thought a bit about it. What do you and I need to be rescued from? Our natures, our selfishness, our propensity to be like supermarket trolleys that constantly veer off in the wrong direction. That thing which bugs us and drags us down. It's the law of sin and death. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to sin, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. At this time of year, when we think of families getting together, crisscrossing the country to be with those they love, the hardest thing is the many people who do not have a place to go where they really belong. And for many, we know a Christmas is a time where they just feel left out in the cold, when the fact that they don't feel they belong is highlighted. That is something we should care about and be ready to reach out to any lonely people we know. But that is not quite what I want us to reflect on this morning. Our text places us as the outsider, the one where nowhere to go, but the outsider who is being drawn in to the fireside, drawn in to the warmth, drawn into the safety and acceptance and embrace. There's a place at the table for each one of us in our Heavenly Father's home, because the baby of Bethlehem grew to be a man and fulfilled his mission. He paid the terrible price and gave each of us the right to be called children of God. And because we are children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. So let each of us this morning come close to our Father, knowing that he is delighted to have each of us at the table. It's not a place of escape from the tough things in our lives or in the world. It's a place where we find strength and light, because Jesus is our dayspring, our dawn. We get fresh light on things. We get new wisdom. We get nourishment. We know we are loved. Can I just ask Pete and Joe to come up? And if you can, maybe we could just stand together. Lord God, we call out to you this morning. Let's do it together. Abba, Father. Okay, again. Abba, Father. We draw close to you and we worship you and thank you for the spirit of your Son in our hearts who enables us to come close to you. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name.